Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's the Dory Monson Show. The first in the Fastest 15.
Wait, who are you?
I'm Dave. Dave Wyman. Thank you. Almost blew that one, too. You caught me off guard. Dave Wyman and Brock Heward filling in for Dory Monson. First in the Fastest.
You guys are doing awesome, by the way. The response has been amazing. So, well done, Dave.
Oh, like this one? Like,
you're killing it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Brock and Dave should be the permanent fill-in for Dory. Like, is that the one? Ooh. Or, goodness gracious, today's show should be called the Hot and Hotter Show.
You decide who's who.
Either works for me. Hashtag bring them back, Nicole.
Why would you read that? See, I would never choose to read that one.
I'm just reading the ones right in front of me right here.
Also, stop sending in the old school emojis.
Dave, you ever get a text on the text toy like this on the sports side? This show should be called the Hot and Hotter Show.
It's really creepy the way you read that, too, that voice you're using.
I know. He dropped it a few octaves.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He's
trying to be
That's
sexy.
That's my Dave Ross.
All right, I'll try this again. I'm trying to do it like four times.
Sorry.
You guys keep interrupting
James.
Me. Sorry. First in the Fastest 15. Is it King County?
Yeah, King County Board of Health.
The King County Board of Health is trying to stop the players. Now, I thought at first, like, well, of course you can't have, you know, any cigarettes or smokeless tobacco in the stands or anything like that. They're talking about the players. Now, here's the one thing that where I would bristle on this is that, are you trying to make them an example for kids? Because, you know, I really think that should come from home. And Brock has a great story about this. But, you know, as far as the players out there on the field, what about a guy that, like, this is what works for me, man? I mean, and I don't understand it, because I'll be honest, I do. It's a bad habit. I do chew tobacco from time to time. Okay, it's... Every
you
day.
Do?
It's every day.
Don't worry.
No. I'm trying to quit. I am. I'm trying to quit. It's terrible.
Hotter.
It's
don't worry
terrible.
About it.
I used to.
You're
it
fine,
started
hotter.
In football when you sat in meetings and you were so bored, and it's just a really disgusting habit.
And
it's
instead
a bad
of
habit.
Reading a book, you just put a dip in. Hotter.
You kids don't do that, okay? And so, look, it's terrible. But I mean, for these guys, some of these guys that it works for, and the reason I don't understand it is because it usually relaxes you, and I don't know why you would want to go out in a competitive situation and, you know, have that kind of bring you down a little bit. But you say a lot of the players,
you see a bunch of them chewing their mouth. Yeah, there's a few of them. There's a guy from place from there, from outside Jacksonville. His dip is the size of a racquetball. Like, I'm a really good chubby bunny, like marshmallow contest. I'm an All-American. I've never lost in that contest.
What's chubby bunny?
Chubby bunny is when you stick as many marshmallows in your mouth. Don't do it. People have gotten hurt from doing it. But it's a contest that you stick as many marshmallows in your mouth at one time.
Brock,
I've never lost.
If you get hurt from a marshmallow, you're a wussy.
Yeah, no.
No, actually, there are people who have actually choked to death on that.
So it's not funny, Dave, okay, Hunter?
All right,
it's
well,
not.
You said hurt.
I know.
I don't know how you get hurt by a marshmallow.
Yeah, well, that it get hurt real bad.
Want to get stuck.
Ursula, help me understand something in the story. Okay, why in the world is this coming about now?
Because it's actually a growing trend. The Safeco Field will be the 15th Major League Stadium.
So because other people are doing it.
Well, no, it's because there are statistics that show that the use of chewing tobacco is bad for your health.
Correct.
And so more and more people are giving up smoking, and more people are using chewing tobacco.
Hmm.
And there are some bad health
consequences. But these grown men can't make that decision for themselves.
Well, there are also grown fans in the stands who can't currently chew tobacco or smoke pot
Yes.
I smell plenty of weed when I'm at Safeco. There was a group that kept going out and coming back in and going out, and they were sitting like three seats from me, and I thought I was going to get stoned sitting there smelling them.
Dave, you mentioned earlier that I do have a little story, and since we're doing the news today, I was really trying to do my homework, for Dory, to have some journalistic integrity for Dory's sake, for the Dory Monson Show that Dave and I are filling in on today, and I called my mom. It is Grandma Peg now, but I called my mom. Because I really wanted to understand this. Our neighbor was a chewer. So he chewed. He also coached Damon's Little League team. My older brother, Damon. I'm in the middle. Little brother, Luke. And I called my mom. I said, we're doing the story today, and I'm trying to, do you remember why you did this? Because it was outside of our norm in our family. I said, why did you have us try it? And she's like, I did? I'm like, oh yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, I think so. She said, I think because of all the studies back then. This is 30 years ago. All the studies back then showed that it was dangerous and leading to cancer, and I wanted to, get, you know. So we all sat on the swing set. Luke's, I think, about 7. I'm 10. Damon's 13. And our neighbor came over with, I believe it was Kodiak.
Oh, it was Chew?
Yeah.
It was Dip, I mean?
It was Dip.
Yeah, not
Kodiak.
The Leafs.
No, not the Leafs. And he came over, and mom had each of us try it. And we all put it in, and Luke put it in and swallowed.
Oh,
yeah,
Luke.
So, well, he's young. He was the youngest. I put it in and just wussed out, as you can imagine. Like, oh, and I'm like spinning around. This is awful. Yeah. And Damon's a teenager. He's a cool guy. Like, yeah, I got that. This is pretty cool. Like, he's thinking he's a cool guy. But Mom actually had all of us just try it. And I think she said because she figured he wouldn't probably care for it. And, you know, it's not a good deal. But we made those decisions, too. Like, I really kind of bristle at this one, Ursula, because these are the guys in that position, just like Dave, just like teammates we know, just like current Mariners. Can't they make that decision for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, interestingly, MLB is supporting this, but I think it's going to be a hard sell for players to give it up. And what are they going to do? Start checking their mouth? And what are they going to do,
right?
Honestly? But I think it's more the message. And I think there's still this idea that young kids are really influenced by professional athletes.
And should be most influenced by their parents.
Absolutely. But the research shows that they're more likely, so high schoolers who play sports are more likely to use smokeless tobacco than their peers.
Yep.
So, I mean, this goes back to, you know, all of it, trying to change a culture, the culture that's been there.
Let me be clear. I'm not endorsing this, okay? And I don't think, Dave, you're necessarily endorsing it.
It's not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
Not a good idea. But I just really have a challenge when grown men and women can't make that decision for themselves.
Well, but that could apply to just about anything, right? I mean, that could apply.
Ursula, this is my point, and I'm sticking to it, okay? I don't have more than that.
Brock doesn't like to be challenged, Ursula.
Ursula,
he doesn't like it.
In fact, we got to get to story number two, I believe.
Okay, I'm going to give you a pass, but I'm just saying.
There is a sounder for that. The music just changes, Brock.
Oh, there's no music sounder? There's nothing?
No.
Story two in the Fast 15.
Story two.
By the way, where is that music?
I'll tell you what, some changes need to be made to the show.
Story two.
Say that right now.
Two. You ready for this one, Dave?
Yes.
I don't know if this will get personal for you, but it will for me eventually. Do you know that millennials still want to get married?
They do.
Actually, yes. You've heard a lot of research saying otherwise, but oh no, hold on just a second, my friend. A study from the Church of England shows that despite the decline in marriage rates, 18 to 35-year-olds still intend to get married. This was determined by over 1,000 single, where all my single ladies at, over 1,000 single young people. They were asked about their future plans. 6 in 10 of the millennials asked said that, yes, they wanted to eventually tie the knot.
So why is it so hard to find them?
Because there's not enough good men. Enough good men
that's
out there.
That's the problem.
Yes. Yeah, Dave, I don't know about it.
Brock and I weren't good men. We were molded by our wives into good men.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly where I was going to take this thing. But do you find in your life right now with your kids, and they're millennials?
Yeah.
Do you find that there's a lot more available good young ladies than there are good men? Because I sure do. What? Don't cringe over there, Ursula.
Oh,
what?
My word. That's based on what?
Based on my science.
His personal
my
experience.
My own personal.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Which can be deceiving. Because Brock is
science.
Really a sheltered person.
There are a lot more thumbsuckers of young millennial men than there are of, I think, amazing young women. And I'm not just saying that because Nicole's here, or what we call J-Slam on our side, with some single available young millennial women. But yes, that is my opinion. I think there are a lot more available, wonderful young women than there are young, available men that will step up and be good husbands.
That's because...
Is that controversial?
No, I agree.
No, I think it's because we got the high-fiving white girls here, right?
J-Slam.
What is that?
That's their... Oh, Dave.
Jessamine.
Oh, Jessamine.
Yes, it's all of you. Stacy.
Where's J-Slam?
And what?
Jessamine. Stacy.
Yeah.
They've got the whole... Lydia. Ashley. Mora.
Yeah.
Oh, Jay Slam.
Where's Nicole?
She's usually
on the
add
side.
Me. No, they usually
Slamming?
Add me in there. There's Slamming? An N. Yeah, Slamming. Then, that's I think what we did.
Yeah, I'll tell you you mentioned Stacy. Yeah, everybody over there. I would agree with you.
Yes,
from that standpoint.
Yes,
when you look at like the men here. Curtis Rogers, our board op? Are you kidding me? I'm kidding. I love Curtis Rogers.
But I think the reality is, I mean, it is a very, from everyone I've heard who's single, including Nicole, it is tough to date these days. I mean, so much is online. I mean, I would hate to have to date. If you don't meet him at work or if you don't meet him at school, I mean, it is hard.
Okay, my life experience, I will be straight up with this, and I don't care if I offend some young men out there. My life experience says there's either thumb suckers that won't grow up, they just will not grow up, or it's the other side that says, nope, I want everything to be right. I want my life to be right. I want my house to be in order. I want to be grown up. I want all these things this way before I commit to it. And I loved your word, Dave. I love your word, mold.
Or like, they just want to enjoy being single.
That's fine. That's fine. But Dave, your word is right.
But
mold.
There are a lot of women like that, too. There are a lot of women who want to get their lives right.
And, absolutely.
And that's the reason they're not getting married, is because, you know what? There's so much pressure these days, and you have to still pay off
your student
loans.
You got to perform. You got to do everything. You got to do all of it. Yes. Yeah. But the women have their house. But they can multitask. They're talented. They're great. Look at our office here. We have them. I know a lot of them. I don't know a lot of guys, I would say.
It's so funny. I've got two guys. I'm trying to defend the guys in the world, and I got two guys saying that they're all losers.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because they said, well, can you set me up? No, I can't set you up. I don't know any good guy. I don't. There's like five or six, seven great young ladies.
I'm really working hard to raise two amazing young men. They're out of Nicole's demo and out of that, whatever you call that, J-Slam group.
Yes.
But
it's not the J-Slam group. It's the High Five and White Girls.
Yes.
By the way, I root for Jessamine to continue to have failed relationships because some of the most hilarious stories come out of them. There was one about a guy who started show. They were at a baseball game.
Are you allowed to tell these?
No, I don't know.
We told it on the air. Okay. She told us on the air that he starts telling her, like demonstrating his workout. And here's what I do. I start with 10. And then he starts like acting out the reps. And you'd think he would do a couple. He did 10. And then I go to this. And then, you know, he went through the whole thing. And it was like, or, you know, the stories where, oh, this is this gorgeous guy, and then he opens his mouth, and it's like, oh no. You just start drinking.
Good. They're not willing to settle.
Wine.
That's very good.
Can I ask
awesome.
You guys your personal question, Dave? Yeah. How much has Shannon molded you?
Molded me?
Yes, you said that earlier.
You know, marriage, you here's the molded. Thing. I said that earlier, and it was a joke. I feel like we've molded each other. Yep. There's no man-woman crap in our marriage. I was the mom for a while. She's the mom for a while. We'd never played any of that gender stuff, and it's worked out great for us. So, and I wouldn't say that one has molded the other. It's more that we've just learned things from each other.
Or you bring out the best in each other,
yes,
right? So you're
right.
Not
or
bringing
you
out
help
the worst.
Fix the worst in the other person.
That too.
With Shannon's always bright and happy, and I tend to be a bit of a grump. So, yeah.
Seriously?
You haven't
she said
picked
that?
Up on that?
No, not ever. Yeah. I would never have think that. I think you're hot and hotter. That's what I think.
You know what?
This show's
going to
be
you.
Called. Okay. You don't
your,
like that?
You know what? You and your big lips.
I have. Thank you.
You need to be pulling audio. I mean, I hope Sean is busy like taking down
so
notes on this.
I have a dear friend of mine, and I love him. And I didn't ask him if I could use his name. He probably would let me, but I'm not going to. A dear friend, high school sweethearts. Okay? And he was the quietest, shyest, like in his spot, and she is the opposite and is bold and daring. And he would say, oh my gosh, without her helping me and molding me and growing me and changing me, I would never be anything that I am today. And I think honestly there's so much pressure, Ursula, I would agree with you, so much pressure. You got to be this way. Oh, you got to be this way. You before you ever get married, you got to be this way. You got to have this fixed. You got to do this. No, you don't. Because you find the right one, like you found Shannon, I found Molly, and my friend found his girlfriend in high school. They help shape you and grow you and mold you. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much nonsense out there that you got to be, oh, so right, and you got to have all this perfect, and I better do this, I better.
Yeah.
No.
Unrealistic
you find the right
expectations.
One. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's a very good point. And mm-hmm. that word, expectations, you're expecting to find some perfect person? Good God, no. No, it's
yeah.
never going to happen.
We're all very flawed. Yeah.
Okay, Dave. No, we
I'm
do
not
have
sure
why
you just so. Pointed at me, Ursula.
Dave, we got 3 minutes. We got to get to the last. This is called the fastest 15 for a reason. Like Dory gets
hasn't
through like 15 stories.
What's the last one?
Two.
What do we got?
The one you really want to talk about, the support animals.
Oh, we got to go into another section
yes.
on this.
Why don't
one.
You go back?
We got to go into another
yeah,
section.
Yeah, that needs more time. What, you want to do the
I got the
story?
Quick answer, though, okay? Here's what we used to do when we were uncomfortable on a plane, and I still do. Booze, okay? That's what brings you comfort on a flight, booze. Not a snake or a chicken or a duck. All right. Yeah, we got. I got more on this. I got way more on this one.
Okay,
we gotta save that one.
What do you want to do? Which one do you want to bump in here?
Oh, we could do Leech. You want to go back to Leech?
Oh,
we did this yesterday towards the end of the show, but I know that you guys wanted to talk about this a little bit, too.
What do you think of Mike Leech? You guys talk to him a bunch, right?
I like him, man. He's weird. He's a weird dude, and he knows it, I think. I think he has, like, a, what do they call that, where it's kind of a functional type of, you know, where he... He just is openly strange.
You ever see socially awkward.
Yeah. Do you see the thing where he's blowing on the cup of coffee?
Yeah.
I think it's genius. This
the
is
whole
his...
time when the other coach is talking.
This is his brand. He's going to have a life after football.
Yeah. You know what? He is an open Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't get that much heat for that, does he?
Which he is in Poland.
Does he?
Yeah. If he was over here, he
on
probably would.
Well, I'm sure he would over here. But, I mean, wouldn't you think, gosh, I got to recruit kids from the other side and kids from all over the country? And he doesn't seem to
no,
care
No, he doesn't
about
back
it.
Down. And he doesn't like the game of golf for a few different reasons. Here was Coach Leech this week explaining yeah, his non-love affair for golf.
You know, golf's pretty much for people that... don't swear effectively enough or need practice at it. And so, I mean, there are those that need golf, and I don't think that I do.
You ever ask him a football question? If you ask him a football question, how's your defense look, coach? He gets out a roster and will start going through the depth chart. Well, we got this kid, and he literally reads his height, weight, and where he's from, and then just goes on to the next guy. He doesn't like talking about football.
No, he's
he'll
good.
Talk about Pirates.
He'll avoid it, and he continues.
His owl.
Yeah, well, he continued to explain why he doesn't care for golf.
You're going to hit that ball to a spot that you can't hit with a sniper rifle and a scope, but they're going to do it with a stick and a ball. They'll say, okay, if I just back off on my left, if I put a little more weight on my right, if I do this, the ball will go right there. No, it won't.
It's a difficult game. No question.
Yeah.
Are you a big golfer? You ever golf, Nicole?
I failed.
I get bored. It's too long.
Yes.
It takes too long. So I just, yeah.
And that's when you send the sleepy emoji.
Is that what you do?
I'm a softball player, and I can't, like, you hit a ball as hard as you can, and you can't do that with golf.
Hey, question for you, Nicole. How often does Dory stick to his show sheets?
Oh.
And the plan?
Well, we kind of work it through hour
you kinda
by hour.
You kind of massage it
this
through?
FM radio has just opened my eyes. I feel like a new person. I mean, the fact that
you
I'm,
and G. Scott, man.
Oh, my gosh. I just can't believe it. I'm like a new person.
Okay,
I'm reborn.
Can we do this? And Sean maybe probably has input, too. Can we do the animals
support?
On the planes?
Yeah. We got
like
to go
like
one.
A 145?
What
do you want to do next?
Yeah,
we got
next. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Let's do next.
All right. Dave's really, really passionate about it. He's about to send an emoji or two. Dave and Brock on the Dory Monson Show.
That's Brock Heward with the whoops there. Brock Heward, Dave Wyman filling in for Dory Monson. I requested a little extra time for this one. Brock, I think we need to talk about it.
That's what you did?
Alaska Airlines, yeah.
No, not right now. No, maybe. Way more time.
Okay, it wasn't a request. It was a demand.
Thank you.
All right. Alaska Airlines made it tougher for people to get their emotional support animals on the plane. Now they're requiring not only an animal health advisory form, but a mental health form currently required. This is a letter issued by a mental health professional or medical doctor approving the use of an emotional support and psychiatric service animal. And then there's an animal, this is hilarious, an animal behavior form.
Uh-huh.
Who's the guy filling that out, do you think? Let me look at the behavior of your duck. Because there's people that are bringing ducks and snakes and chickens on planes. Why? Because they're nervous about flying. Guess who hates flying? I do. I hate flying. I hate it. It's the worst.
So what do you do? Because you have to do a lot of it.
I know. I drink. I'll tell you that much.
Like starting before you've even walked onto the plane you're talking about.
Yes. By the time I get to the terminal, I don't care if it's 5:30 in the morning. If the bar is open, because the other day I had an early flight.
I'm glad you said this because I got to confess something. I was judging you a little bit. The last time we flew together, like I didn't say it out loud or to anybody. I was just thinking to myself, like, geesh. What, he's having a couple? Like, well, he's having a couple.
Did you break out into sweat? I mean, what
I didn't
is it,
know
though?
That you were nervous. I didn't know.
I don't think the plane's going to crash or
right?
anything.
You just
I don't
like it.
That. I just don't like people. I do not like people. I like a person, but people. And I was in a security line that took like it took an hour. And I got there.
So you're already agitated.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
And then I had to sit next to the lady. And apparently, and I read this on the magazine on the plane, and Jessamyn was giving me a hard time. What, you can just sit there and read the magazine? I'm like, yeah, that's right. What's wrong with that? Anyway, she was watching a movie or something on her phone. But, yeah, it says that the middle seat person gets both armrests. Why? Why should you get both armrests?
Oh, no, you're stuck in the middle.
You got the crappy
guy?
Seat. Sorry, you should have gone online and, you know, picked out that
No,
that
sometimes
seat
you're
on the
left with the crummy
yeah,
seat.
Yeah, whatever's left.
Are you that guy that, like, just
no,
keeps, like,
I'll do, hey,
nudging
I'll
somebody?
Go front and you go back.
Can you get to the story?
You go
What's
front,
wrong
I'll go
with
back.
The emotional support animals?
So now these people are, yeah, and so, again, like, I might need an animal to get on. I hate going through the lines, everything, the whole experience.
You
I,
might
I
be
hate
an
it.
Animal.
I don't care when the flight takes off. I don't think it's going to crash. I trust.
Right.
You know,
you just
Alaska
don't like
Airlines,
the whole thing.
Everything. I just
so
don't
what
like
you're
the
basically saying is, like, if anybody really needed an emotional support animal, you would be the one.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. If I didn't drink, yeah, I would probably need that. But don't you think people are going too far with this? Seriously.
Yes.
I mean, I understand there are people that, and, you know, how did we deal with all these things in the past? You know, it's like now the kids, and I don't mean to get off on a tangent, but like if you don't text somebody back in 3 minutes, I was stuck at Wooster High School when I was a freshman for 3 hours because the phone was off the hook at home and I needed a ride home.
Right.
So, I mean, kids now would freak out over that.
Yes.
But, you know, what did you used to do back then when you had anxiety about going on a plane? You just sucked it up. Okay.
Yeah.
But now people are going on with all of these, you know, I got a duck, I got a chicken, I got a snake. Yeah. You told me a story about somebody with a snake.
With a snake.
Well, like,
can you imagine?
It's not just about being nervous to fly. Sometimes
there
it's
you
a way to travel with your animals when
yes.
most people just used to
can
leave
you
them at home.
Can you imagine, yeah. Dave? Okay. I think we've all got a picture. There's a reason why he wanted to do this segment and give it some time. You presented a wonderful picture of some of the stress you get on a plane. Can you picture Dave getting in, I don't know, 14B? And sitting down, and all of a sudden next to him is a person with a little trench coat, and up comes the boa constrictor face. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sorry, we have mechanical issues.
Or the chicken.
You cannot get off the plane, and we can't serve any drink right now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just wait it out, and all of a sudden a chicken, a boa constrictor, something
yeah.
comes out. What kind of emotional response are you going
to
have?
Well, I'm going to say, look, I need a support animal to get me through this, the fact that you have a snake in your pocket or
so
whatever.
So you got no issues with Alaska doing this.
I think Alaska, you know, look, clearly it's being taken advantage of, don't you think? People
Absolutely.
Are,
people are just ordering yep. the vests online.
I met, okay, we interviewed a professional athlete, won't say his name, but he got his dog on the plane by getting this whole clearance and the certificate, and
yep.
the dog got on the plane with him. He plays in front of 40,000-50,000 people
yeah.
in a really high-pressure situation. You're telling me that he has to have
yeah,
his
dog
on?
Yeah, but you played in front of 60,000 people. You, Dave, went through 2 days without water. Dave, you are one tough sucker. Anybody that knows you knows that you are as tough as they get, but you don't like flying.
Yeah, but that I didn't used to. Back then, when I was doing all that stuff, I was fine with it. I didn't care. Yeah. Now, it's just gotten worse and worse because of the yeah. lines and the people, and everybody feels like, you know, and I'm not justifying alcoholism. I understand some people yep. can't drink, and so they have to find a way. But again, man, look, people have dealt with this in the past.
They have.
And I feel like this, I always look at it this way. My brother always says this. He was a defensive tackle.
Your brother's
at Stanford.
Wise, man. Your brother's got
he
emojis.
Is.
He's got bitmojis. I like
yeah,
your brother.
Yeah, he was 2 years ahead of me. He went to Stanford. That's the reason I went to Stanford, because he got a scholarship there. So I always rely on him. But he always says, like, where is this going?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you extend this out, where is this going to end? Mm-hmm. When's it going to stop? Because mm-hmm. is everybody going to bring an animal on eventually?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The unfortunate thing, though,
there's some
is
that
those
really
people,
need it.
Exactly, those people who bring on the you know, chicken or the boa constrictor or whatever are ruining it for the people who legitimately need it.
Yeah. What do you think the people that legitimately need it used to do?
Probably drink heavily or go into, you know, down a path of drugs or whatever. Use some other coping
mechanism.
Mr. T,
what did Mr. T have to do? On the A-team. You don't remember what they did to
D.A.
Baracus? They just they shot him. They just injected him with Valium so he would just have to pass out on the plane because he was like you.
You know, I'd like to look into that. If you could just wake me up when we're there. One time I took something. I don't know if it was a Valium or something like that. But it was when we were coming back from Super Bowl 40.
Okay.
And we left Detroit and I took that in the morning. And I might have chased it with the beer. I don't remember. You're not supposed to do that. But
no.
I fell asleep in the back. And when I woke up, we were landing in Seattle. I was like, if we could just do that every time, I'd be really happy.
I have just one tiny quick suggestion for Dave. The next time you two are traveling, I heard something that really works that you do, Brock.
Yeah.
Foot massage.
Oh, look out. Oh, look at you dropping the mic right there. Oh, look, you pointed at me. Yeah.
Brock gives Dave, out foot massages.
Yeah, you want, would that help, Dave, if I massage your feet?
Do you want to tell that story?
I think it's been told before. We could do that. Well, I want to get actually on your level, and I want to, because you were kind of a little psycho that segment.
Hold on. Can I just say, though, that you are actually you're a tough guy when it comes to flying. I've seen you sit in middle seats, and you know, and I should be more like you.
Yeah.
But you're skinny.
Just chill.
That's what he is,
right? I know we got a text saying Dave Wyman needs a t-shirt that says, if you're an emoji sending support animal using wussy, I hate you.
Oh, come on.
Is that fair?
No hatred.
I know. I don't think you hate people. You hate, well, people, but not persons.
I didn't know. Nicole and I shared something very much in common. We love music on a radio show. I love Dory's show. I find myself listening all the time because they play so much music.
What are we listening to here?
Animal support music on the farm.
Nicely done.
And you're gonna get more music on the other side of this. Dave Wyman, Brock Heward in. It's the Dory Monson Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
Knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous. But on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out. Time's up, over, loud.
Who's this? Vanilla Ice?
That's the voice of Dave Wyman. I'm Brock Heward. We're filling in on the Dory Monson Show. No, Dave, that's the voice of Eminem.
I was close.
Can you picture me? Can you picture me in Cleveland Stadium? This would have been 1999, 2000, 2001, 2000, either 2002 or 2003 is Peyton Manning's backup. And that song had just come out. It was hot, man. It was a hot song. And it was playing in the stadium. And I was sitting there warming up. I'm like, yeah, this is the day, man. This is the day Peyton's going to go down. Here's my moment, my one chance, you know, and I had like the best warm-ups ever. So you know what I guess I am? Psycho. Because in a study from New York University, 200 people out there who listened to 260 songs, those with the highest psychopathic scores were among the greatest fans of psycho music.
I've never even heard of that category of music.
Of Lose Yourself, you mean?
Yes.
That is psycho music.
That is psycho music.
Well, was the Eminem we just heard?
Yeah, that's psycho music.
That's psycho music. Yeah. You're a psycho. Also, you're a psycho because you're like, Peyton's going down. You're waiting for another guy's injury.
No, I was just thinking maybe this is my one shot. You can't get enough. Yeah, whatever, however the words went. Yeah. And doggone it, come on, Mariners. You can't have this. You really like.
Would you calm down?
No, it's zero, first and zero. Third, nobody out. Come on, beat the Astros. I get a little psycho here. Do you like psycho music, Dave?
No, I don't even know what it was until I just heard that. What falls into that category?
Another song that falls into that category is this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I like the playoffs. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play that. Play on, play that.
Sean, do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how they determine what psycho is and what non-psycho is?
You know what? I really don't know. I could only imagine that every serial killer ever that's lived has listened to No Diggity by Blackstreet. I mean, that's probably a fact if you check Wikipedia.
I would think so. Psychopathic. Do you know what's not psychopathic?
Hmm.
And we can all be the judge of that. Yeah. Not psychopathic.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me, Sean. I know it's like, My Sharona.
Yeah.
It's the something.
The, right.
Uh-huh. The Knack.
You got it.
Well done.
Dory would be proud of you.
Okay, Dave, psycho or not psycho?
It drives me nuts.
Dave, psycho or not psycho?
It drives me nuts. Psycho.
It's not psycho.
Really?
You want one more shot at this to see if you're a psychopath after that last segment? I think we can all judge for ourselves, but it's psycho or not psycho?
Dave will know this song.
Mm.
It's a little too new.
It's not Enya.
Not his wheelhouse.
I don't know this one.
Is it psycho or not psycho?
It's kind of driving me nuts. You shot it out. I don't see how somebody could go and commit like a mass murder after listening to that, but it's
a weird selection, the study. I mean, they gave them 200 songs. These were just the most common.
Nicole, is this what you all do on a daily basis? You find these studies that you just get to?
Yeah.
I mean, if we can.
You know, I sent you. You can't. This isn't for air, but do you like Key and Peele?
They can be pretty
funny. They do a really good job. They have one on dubstep, and which is that music that, like, there's a whole, like, episode that they have where they're playing the dubstep music and the guy ends up jumping out the window and their noses are bleeding. The guy pulls his tooth out. He's pulling fingernails off because it drives you nuts.
But then that's the theme. Like, different kinds of music absolutely change your emotions.
Yeah, but there are certain songs that I would listen to when I was on the road, like when I was in college, Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
I've seen a million faces and rocked them all. I loved that. That was great.
Did you have psycho? Was it important to you when you played middle linebacker? And Dave Wine was a middle linebacker in the NFL for, close to, what, a decade? Go. I love to say a decade.
Steel horse I ride.
And I'm wanted.
Yeah. Dead or alive.
Yeah.
What were you going to ask?
Did you have psycho music you listened to before you got yourself ready to just hit people?
Not really. I did a little bit, but I had a very wide array of when I was that later parts of when I was at Stanford, I used to listen to Run DMC. I really liked that.
Oh,
and
really?
Then when I got, and you know this, Brock, back in those days, there was only one stereo. And so different people, the offensive linemen would get a hold of it.
Yep.
And they were usually mostly white and they would put country music on, which I hated. Yep. I hated that.
Oh,
but there's Run DMC right there.
So
but
this,
then,
is, like, this is
NWA.
This is how you got ready to go out and hit people.
Probably not this song, but I did like listening to it. But usually it's rock and roll, you know? AC/DC, Bon Jovi, something like that. Or Queensryche.
Ooh.
Queensryche, do you remember them? Okay, May 14th, they're playing at the Clearwater Casino. I had a Queensryche CD and just listened to it all the time. That's Eddie Vedder.
Is this psycho or not psycho?
Oh,
well,
sorry.
He does
this
have
was
that.
This was Brock's
you
song.
You can keep it going. It's just...
No, wait. Let's go to Wyman's.
Oh.
Yeah.
Listen to
this, guys. Bellevue's own, Brock. Queensryche. You know what this song's called? And I used to refer to my wife this way. She's my Jet City Woman.
Oh.
That's the name of the song. Jet City Woman. Love this song.
That's 2 hours, Dave.
I'll tell you what. I could run down on a kickoff after this song right here.
Hour number 3, coming your way on the Dory Monson Show.